I mean, you think about the Dodgers, we've talked about this, and it is not just get to the World Series. They've got to win it. The pressure is at an all-time high. So not only is this a World Series best team without a doubt in the National League on paper, but if they don't win it, it's a failure, not within LA, but within all of baseball and the expectations that are now on this team.
It's all or nothing this season for the LA Dodgers. Years of near misses and revelations about their cheating rivals have them hungry for a championship like never before. And their roster has never been this good. With Mookie Betts in place as the crown jewel, can the Dodgers finally win it all? I'm Jason Fitz in for Mina Kimes. It's Wednesday, March 11th. This is ESPN Daily, presented by ADT. Jeff Passan, how are you doing on this fine, wonderful day?
I am both fine and wonderful, Jason. Thank you.
Jeff Passan covers Major League Baseball for ESPN. He's been in Florida and Arizona reporting on spring training. So we're going to talk Dodgers today, and they might be the biggest story because of what they did this offseason, and that starts with the massive trade with the Red Sox. If you had to give the Mookie Betts trade story a tagline, Mookie Betts to the Dodgers, blank.
It happened. Then it didn't happen. And then it happened again. And the fact that it happened, I think, really salvaged an offseason for the Dodgers where their fans felt like they were fiddling as Rome burns. And it was interesting because if the Dodgers had not gone out and traded for Mookie Betts this winter, or this spring as it were, they still would have been the best team in the National League. And they would have been the best team in the National League probably by a pretty healthy margin. But to go out and get a guy who is arguably the second best player in baseball really speaks to just how important winning now is for this organization.
I want to give everybody a peek behind the curtain of Jeff Passan. So walk me through the sort of the moment you first started hearing that this could be on the horizon.
Well, all offseason, there was a feeling that somebody big was going to get moved. And, you know, as time ticked away going towards spring training, the sentiment was that that was less and less likely. I remember getting a text, and it was very simple. It said, Mookie, Dodgers, traction. And when you get something like that, you know, the alarm bells go off a little bit. And I started poking around and hearing, yeah, there may actually be some legs to this deal. But there were so many different iterations of it in terms of what are the Dodgers going to take back? Is Price going to go with him? What sorts of prospects would they give up?
We're following a developing story that could be a blockbuster in baseball. The Dodgers are in deep discussions to acquire star right fielder Mookie Betts from the Red Sox.
A bit of a snag in the Mookie Betts deal to the Dodgers.
The blockbuster three-way trade has been held up because of questions surrounding the health of at least one player, pitching prospect Brusdar Graterol.
Red Sox didn't like the medical on Graterol, who had Tommy John surgery in the past and shoulder problems.
It started to come together, and then obviously it looked like it might fall apart for a moment. What were your thoughts when it looked like the deal was sort of breaking up?
The Dodgers were not going to let Mookie Betts play for another team this year. Even as Boston and Minnesota were negotiating and trying to figure out their end of what was supposed to have been a three-way trade. And when that did not happen, the Dodgers stepped in and said, you know what? We are going to make this deal happen. And it's exactly what they did.
And that Betts blockbuster, it's reworked, but done. Boston agreeing to send 2018 AL MVP Mookie Betts and pitcher David Price to the Dodgers for outfielder Alex Verdugo and prospects Jeter Downs and Connor Wong. Boston also sending cash.
We've talked a little bit about the deal, but I want to talk about Mookie specifically. What makes him so unique as a player?
he's just great at everything. He hits for average. He hits for power. He's an excellent base runner. He's arguably the best right fielder defensively in the game. He's a good clubhouse presence, a nice guy.
What can you bring to this team, this franchise, to help them finally bring a championship to L.A.?
I'm going to do everything I can. I mean, like, bring my energy, bring my excitement, work hard, just try and rub off that way. I know there's a lot of guys that work hard and do everything they can here. And so I'm just going to be here to add on to that and should make our case for 2020 World Series for sure.
You look at Mookie Betts and you try to find fault with him and you just can't. I mean, the worst thing you can say about Mookie Betts is he hasn't been a superstar in the postseason. He's going to get a chance to play in the postseason again this year, health permitting. And if he's out there in October on the biggest stage with free agency about to hit, I feel like that is his time to absolutely shine and show everybody why he believes that he's going to be baseball's second $400 million player next to Mike Trout.
What's interesting is that you said earlier the Dodgers fans were restless, even though they would have gone into the season likely as the best team without Mookie Betts. So why was it actually necessary to acquire Mookie?
It wasn't necessary. It was just optimal. Sometimes when you understand just how good your talent is and what the landscape is across the rest of baseball, you realize that it's worth going for it, that sitting around and trying to get as much surplus value as you can might not win you a championship. Now, trading for Mookie Betts might not win you a championship either, but you certainly have a better chance at doing so when you have him in the middle of a lineup that already is pretty devastating.
I promised we wouldn't talk entirely about the Astros, but there is an element of this conversation that is Astros-based, or at least sign-stealing-based. When you look at the way the 17 and 18 World Series went down, how much does that play into the way that they approached the offseason this year?
Yeah, I don't think it's an element. I think it's a large part of it, honestly. I mean, let's look at what the Dodgers have done. They've won 7 straight National League West championships. And they bowed out in the LCS the first time around in 2013. And they did it in the LCS again in 2016. When you get to 2017 and you're playing in the World Series and you have a team that's won 104 games and you feel like they are every bit as good as the Astros, and then they go and lose in Game 7.
And the Houston Astros have claimed that city's first ever World Series championship.
That is a gut punch. And when you come back the next year and you run into a team in the Boston Red Sox that has just buzzsawed through the playoffs, you know, that hurts too.
Swing and a miss. It is over. The Boston Red Sox, baseball's best all season long. They have won it all. And the celebration begins.
And now to look back and know that the 2017 Astros had spent the season, and according to Rob Manfred, the playoffs as well, cheating.
We have a developing story, and Major League Baseball has launched an investigation into allegations that the Astros used a center field camera to help steal signs during their 2017 championship run.
And to look at the accusations and allegations against the 2018 Boston Red Sox, and to believe that at some point in the near future, maybe at the end of this week, we're going to have a better accounting of what they potentially did.
MLB says it will investigate allegations that the Red Sox used their video replay system to steal signs during their World Series winning season in 2018.
That hurts. And that's the sort of thing that sticks in your psyche. As much as you want to wipe it out of your mind and say there's nothing we can do, there's no sense in looking back, how can you not?
You just said sometimes it's best to move forward. Is there still value for the Dodgers continuing to air their grievance and continuing to push ahead with it?
I mean, as a reporter who loves players speaking their minds, of course, there's a wonderful incentive. You know, Cody Bellinger and Justin Turner in particular were quite outspoken on the topic.
I mean, these guys were cheating for 3 years. Altuve stole an MVP from Judge in 17. everyone knows they stole the ring from us.
It's hard to feel like they earned it and they earned the right to be called champions.
I know personally I lost respect for those guys. Everyone in the show, in the big leagues, lost respect for those guys.
I think it's pretty obvious that whatever the commissioner thought he didn't do it very well.
They said all of the things that so many players around baseball felt, but they said them from the perspective of someone who is actually deeply harmed by this. To have, you know, the ability to win that championship for what would have been the first time in almost three decades at that point, taken away from you, really still angers the Dodgers and brought them out maybe as strong as anyone around the game. I think they've said their piece at this point, and I think they need to let their game speak the rest.
Coming up, how the Dodgers' talent fits together and how they built this roster.
We're presented by Marathon. Now, more than ever, we have to look out for each other and count on each other. And Marathon wants you to know that you can count on them for high-quality, top-tier gas. While we are aware travel might not be top of mind, there might be times where you have to hop in the car to run an errand. Maybe you have to drop off groceries and supplies to your family. Maybe you've become an amazing baker and want to drop off a few dozen cookies on your best friend's porch. Or maybe you just want to drive around to all of your friends' homes simply to wave from a safe distance. But before you head out, remember to fuel up at Marathon. Marathon gasolines are formulated with STP additives. They keep your vehicle running at peak performance by optimizing fuel economy, removing those ugly deposit buildups, and reducing emissions. Remember, wherever you need to go, the people at Marathon are behind you all the way. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
If you think about the Dodgers roster, they already have the reigning NL MVP with Cody Bellinger. They also have the former MVP and Cy Young winner with Clayton Kershaw. So how do all of these big noted players sort of fit together on one roster?
They fit together like a lovely 26-piece puzzle. And that's the beauty of what the Dodgers have done. They have constructed a roster that really doesn't have, I'm not going to say any, but doesn't have clearly visible flaws. And that particularly goes for the everyday lineup. I mean, you can put any number of players at any number of positions. You can play Cody Bellinger in center field one day, play him at first base the next day. You can play Max Muncy at first base, and no, we can shift him over to second where, oh, by the way, Gavin Lux, who's a top five prospect in all of baseball, is going to play as well. But if he's not there and if there's a lefty on the mound, you can put Kike Hernandez in there at second base, and he absolutely destroys left-handed pitching. He also can play left field, maybe a little bit of center field, but you've got A.J. Pollock in left field too. You know, if there's a right-hander, hey, why not put Jock Peterson in there? He crushes right-handed pitching. And you've got Corey Seager at shortstop, Justin Turner at third, Will Smith is going to be a star behind the plate, and there's that Mookie Betts guy in right field.
You're talking about an incredible group of talent, but you're also talking about an incredible payroll that just was able to recklessly go at Mookie Betts because they wanted to. When you look at a team like the Orioles that are this year spending, what, $45 million on their entire payroll, and the Dodgers are spending close to $220. I mean, it's just that level of imbalance as the rich seemingly get richer. Is that good for baseball?
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great, but that's what happens when you have an uncapped system. That's also what happens when you're in a sport where money doesn't necessarily equal success. If the Dodgers just went out spending money, like literally that's all they did, we've seen that before. We saw that with the New York Yankees throughout the 2010s. Didn't work. And I think the Yankees really changed their mindset and started to understand what the Dodgers have long understood, which is you cannot be successful doing what you do if you're not developing players from within, if you're not counterbalancing those larger salaries with minimum salaries from players that you have developed, whether it's via the draft or via international free agency. You have to have a balance of those two. And when you see the number of players that the Dodgers have developed, it shows just how great their farm system really has been.
For everything that we've talked about, the greatness of the roster, when you look at the National League across the board, what teams should the Dodgers be the most worried about?
No one. I mean, look, when you have a system in which there is a five-game series, you should be afraid of everyone. But over the course of the 162-game season, there's nobody who's going to challenge the Dodgers. There's just not. I mean, the Arizona Diamondbacks, Jason, are a really good team. They're probably going to be double digits behind the Dodgers in the National League West. Even if you go out east, let's look at the defending World Series champions, the Washington Nationals. They're good. They're really good. They've got Max Scherzer. They've got Steven Strasburg and Patrick Corbin and Anibal Sanchez in the rotation. They beat the Dodgers last year, even though they didn't have as much talent. That's the trouble with going as far in on Mookie Betts as the Dodgers did. I absolutely think it was the right move. I absolutely think that it was at the right time. But in the end, when we look back on the 2020 season, there is a possibility, and not an insignificant possibility either, that the Dodgers lose in the division series like they did last year. And at that point, would the Mookie Betts deal be worth it? I mean, the answer's got to be no, right?
Well, let me counter that, though. I mean, the answer is no anytime you acquire a player, sure. I understand World Series are bust, but the Dodgers are making money any way they want to look at it. So they're putting themselves in the best chance to try and win a World Series championship. I mean, is it as simple for the organization as World Series or bust?
Yes, I think it is at this point. I think the Dodgers judge their seasons where they are right now with the talent they have based on whether they have a gold ring encrusted with diamonds that they're giving out on opening day the next year or whether they don't. I think it is that binary. And certainly you can take positives out of a season in which you don't win a World Series and have good feelings about the things that you achieved and accomplished. But if you were to give truth serum to everybody in that organization, I think everyone would say, we want to win, and we want to win now.
If you had to decide to come in with an educated opinion, and you're risking my house on it, not yours, my house on it, and our friendship, and it's Dodgers or the field to win it all this year, who are you taking?
I'm going to take your question and twist it a little. If you had one team to choose to win the World Series this year, who would it be? My answer would be the Los Angeles Dodgers. It is a unmatched collection of talent right now that the Dodgers have, and it's not going anywhere for a while. They are planet killers, and there's some big planets around MLB, but none quite as big or as daunting as the Dodgers are at this moment.
That is the sort of mic drop moment that you only get from Jeff Passan. Jeff, thanks for the time, man. We appreciate you hanging out with us.
Pleasure is always mine, Jason. Thanks.
Coming up, which NBA player has the most to prove in Los Angeles?
Hi, guys. Given everything that is happening in the world right now, most of us are buying things online. I saw that AT&T started doing two really helpful things for those who want to buy a new phone or device online. They are offering fast, free, non-contact delivery and curbside pickup so that online shopping is as simple and safe as possible. On top of that, They have a flexible return policy so you can shop at ease. You can visit att.com to learn how to shop online from the safety of your home 24/7. Subject to change, restrictions apply.
Here's another story I want you to know. Individual pressure is nothing new to NBA players or to any athlete that plays in the city of Los Angeles. This year, those pressures have collided with two of basketball's biggest stars playing in the same city, pitting LeBron James and the Lakers against Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers, and fueling both a personal and organizational rivalry. As the regular season comes roaring towards a close, the question is, who's under more pressure to win a championship, LeBron or Kawhi? The answer is based on a simple concept, benefit of the doubt. LeBron lost that benefit from many fans when he took his talents to Miami, and even though he gracefully handled the Kobe tragedy for his team and his city, it seems he's never gotten it back. Kawhi, on the other hand, went to Toronto as a one-year mercenary, won the team a title, and then left a franchise, city, and country where he was beloved, all while somehow getting more love. In fact, by turning down the opportunity to play with LeBron and the Lakers, the quiet superstar's shine only seemed to grow. All of that translates to pressure. Beloved stars like Kawhi are rare, and attention being paid to the Clippers is even more rare. What's not rare is a negative narrative surrounding LeBron. The constant comparisons to Michael Jordan and the never-ending analysis of if stars want to play with him creates extra layers of pressure. When you couple these facets with the expectation that comes with playing for the Lakers, from the legends that have worn the jersey to the number of not just titles, but dynasties they put on the floor, the answer to this is clear. Anything short of a title will not be a black mark on the resume of Kawhi, whereas even winning a title for LeBron will only serve to feed the question of how many in a row he's now expected to win. Never enough is the truest definition of pressure. I'm Jason Fitz, in for Mina Kimes. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.